Hello and welcome to the episode on Psych Specifics. My name is Chioma Isiadinso and I'm a doctoral student here at JMU. And with me is Dr. Sri Upadhyaya. And thank you so much, Dr. Upadhyaya, for making the time to speak with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. So we're going to just dive right in. And the first question that I have is, in Psych 101, the students learn about the different perspectives or subfields within psychology, such as cognitive, social, clinical, and so on. Which of these perspectives best describe your training or research area?
So I'm a cognitive psychologist, and my research area is reading, memory, attention, and language processing and comprehension. That's actually quite a few areas, but as you get into some of the more complicated memory and language functions, it incorporates a lot of other cognitive behaviors too. And for the students, I teach cognitive psychology pretty frequently. So some of my students know me as Dr. Sri, Dr. Yu, or Dr. Upadhyaya, and you might have me in class.
Awesome. Well, let's go even deeper here. What specifically do you research and what drew you to that?
So I research how we use and understand language, primarily in written discourse. And so this means that I'm looking at stories, emails, text messages, larger units of text in writing or entire conversations. Recently, I have more of a focus on digital communication. And my interest in this sort of stemmed from being an avid reader as an undergrad. I was also an English and psych double major. And so I had these questions about, you know, noticing things in my class and recognizing that some students really loved getting into analyzing a text, you know, what the author might have meant or what people took their words to mean. And some students weren't really that engaged with it. So I wanted to know what drew people to stories and why did some people enjoy them more than others.
That's really interesting. So would you mind sharing an example of an interesting finding from one of your published research?
Sure, I'm happy to do that. So an interesting finding from the ongoing series of studies on text messaging that I have is one thing that's unique about text messaging is that we use it to stand in for face-to-face conversation. And one thing that we're missing in these computer-mediated environments is that we don't get those face-to-face cues, even though people want to use texting to stand in for talking to someone on the phone or having a face-to-face meeting or even using Zoom with video. When you're texting, you don't really have facial expressions or gesture or tone of voice. And so one of the things that people do is try to bridge that gap with other types of cues. And so, you know, some of them more maybe more explicit, like using emoji. Mm-hmm. Some people might use a form of writing that mimics how they would speak. So you might be extending the phonemic pronunciation of certain words. You might say so mm-hmm. with a lot of O's mm-hmm. to kind of mimic the way that you would be speaking. Mm-hmm. And one of the other things that we've looked at that's, I think, one of the more interesting findings in terms of all these different textisms is that timing is also something that we think about in terms of the context of that conversation. So let's say that you invited your friend to get lunch that day. It's kind of a time-sensitive question, and you want to make sure that you get a response mm-hmm. within a certain amount of time. Otherwise, you know, it's no longer lunchtime. So let's say that your friend sent you a delayed response. They said, sure, but, you know, it's 4 hours later.
Right.
That delay is going to affect the perceived enthusiasm of that response, mm-hmm. even though it's a positive response. So, you know, it just goes to show that it doesn't matter only what you say, but how you say it. And that, mm-hmm. that timing can affect, you know, the perceived enthusiasm or positivity. And that's one of those things that's a little bit less explicit in the conversation, right? It's not the person's words, but it's more of the context surrounding, you know, the delivery of that message.
Right. And this is really interesting because given that this is a university environment, I mean, our listeners, all of, you know, majority of them use text
yeah.
as a way to communicate. So I'm sure this must be resonating for some of our listeners. Thank you for sharing that example, Dr. Padilla.
And I think it also, just to add a little bit to that, I think people are aware of it in a different way because you can sort of use it as a soft way to say no, right? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe your friends want to go out that evening, but you're a little tired. And so you can say, oh, I didn't see this, you know, and it's the next day. So I think there's a lot more ambiguity or room for ambiguity in texting, but it also allows some interesting flexibility and creativity. And that yeah. that's kind of both the pro and con of
right.
that.
Right. That's interesting. Well, it sounds like this is a good place to go into the interdisciplinary aspect of your area specifically. So I'd love to know, you know, psychology is an incredibly interdisciplinary field, right? I'm thinking about cognitive and, you know, you're talking about texting and emojis and computer related things. So how do other disciplines outside of psychology integrate the findings or theories from your subfield into their research or practice? Like, can you give us an example of an interesting application of your research, perhaps, outside psychology?
Yeah, so I would say kind of in the creation of cognitive psychology as a field, there was a lot of interdisciplinary focus. The field started after World War II, so there's the influence of technology, mm-hmm. Especially going towards like war efforts and then wanting to optimize pilot attention. That's where a lot of the early mm-hmm. experiments started with attention. Mm-hmm. The text messaging work that I do is kind of more on the applied side than some of my other more theoretical or basic research on understanding how attention and memory work, mm-hmm. assuming all things being equal in a quote-unquote normal cognitive environment or cognitive mind. But mm-hmm. there's plenty of people that might pick that up and apply it to maybe a special population if you're looking at text messaging differences, you know, maybe cross-culturally, or if you're looking at maybe the differences in aging and how people are using these technologies. So there's a lot of room for collaboration with maybe people in communication or in education or in a lifespan development type areas.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think language by nature is pretty interdisciplinary, and a lot of people are going to pick that up in different ways.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Well, this is a podcast and it's focused on Psych 101. So Psych 101 fulfills the JMU's sociocultural area requirements for general education, meaning students are expected to understand people who might be different from them and the importance of multicultural perspectives. How do you think about the role of culture, different social identities, or multicultural perspectives in the context of your research or your subfield?
So I think across cognitive research, there's more of a push now to think about attention and memory as also being influenced in a top-down way by mm-hmm. people's individual experiences. And I think about this definitely with the text messaging work, because a lot of the conventions that people might be using, you know, for slang or the inside jokes or things that they have with people are very dependent on their individual experiences, the people they're regularly communicating with. You know, even across different language experiences and cultural experiences, there are different ways mm-hmm. that even something like an emoji can take on a different meaning.
Right.
So I think that, you know, language is something that doesn't exist in a vacuum. And that's one of the biggest ways that I can think of there being multicultural perspectives that are important there.
And I bet you there's a lot of room for miscommunication, right?
Yeah.
As you layer on the cultural parts.
Yeah,
things,
exactly.
Right?
I think people definitely think of like the generational differences, but mm-hmm. you know, there's also the cultural differences. And, you know, especially if you're thinking about maybe the way that you talk to your best friend versus right. like somebody that maybe you only kind of know from class, you know, there's going to be different ways of communicating, or the way that you might, you know, text with a coworker versus someone that you know, in your family. Like, there's different levels of familiarity that might affect some of that.
Right. Fascinating field, you know. All right, so my last question as we wind down is, what advice would you give to yourself back when you were a student in Psych 101?
I would say, you know, I think this is something that makes sense for someone that studies the mind as a cognitive psychologist, but I would say keep an open mind. Mm-hmm. I'm really thankful for my professor who introduced me to cognitive psychology and the field of language research. Mm-hmm. I think both of those topics may not always get a ton of coverage in intro classes, and I didn't come into college thinking that I was going to be a psychology mm-hmm. major, and then I learned about cognitive psychology, and I learned that you could study language and, you know, what people do when they're reading. And that to me felt like being a kid in a candy store. Like, it felt mm-hmm. like that was made for me. So, you know, I think the great thing about an intro class is that you are going to get a lot of variety in the topics that are introduced. And so something might click for you. And if there's something that you are interested in, you know, definitely talk to your professor so that you can get connected with people who might be able to, you know, tell you more about this or get you into a research lab. Yeah. So I would say just, you know, be curious and inquisitive.
I love it. So you guys, you heard it here from Dr. Padia, which is stay curious, right? And just see what's out there and engage with your professors. You never know what resources might be available that you can get plugged into. So thank you so much, Dr. Padia, for making this time. And it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Cheers.